What's up, everybody? We have 10 minutes here. Mr. Ryan Muckenearns across the table, and there are some cartridges between him and Mark and myself. So we're going to be talking about some kind of cartridge, and you've already seen the title. It's the 338 Lapua. We've had tons of requests to hear about the 338 Lapua. Very interesting story, very interesting development behind it. I think we're going to get into that, certainly. And also, maybe get into a little bit of the fact that I think we talked a while back about a cartridge called the 50 BMG. You're going to want to go back and check that one out. Somewhat unicorn dust sprinkled over a cartridge like the 50 BMG. I think the 338 Lapua gets a little bit of that too. Like, it's made of unicorn horn and it can do anything ever. Ryan, why don't you go into enlighten us on some of the history?
So it's an interesting Wildcat, which is neat. Also based off a very old cartridge.
Yeah.
The 416 Rigby. So British sporting cartridge made for shooting things like elephants and rhinoceroses and hippopotami. I think that's the plural of hippopotamus.
I would go with that.
Sure.
And big voluminous case, robust design, reshape, neck it down to a very slippery projectile profile, in this case, 338 diameter, at the request of like the Navy, looking for a long-range sniper round.
They wanted it to be able to carry on its effectiveness in a certain speed, if I recall correctly, at 1,000 meters, right?
And we talk, Jim mentioned the 50 being, everybody kind of had this preconceived notion that the 50 was the ultimate sniper cartridge. The old 338 Lapua gives a 50 a run for its money. And then sometimes is a much better application, not necessarily from a ballistic standpoint, but like the whole system standpoint. Lighter weight rifle, carry way more ammo, lighter recoiling, flies through the sonic and transonic barrier at, depending on the bullet you're using, sometimes better distances, higher degree of potential accuracy from the shooter. I think all around a probably better product for
it's
that
sort
application.
It's sort of said to be between the 308 or the 7.62 by 51 and the 50 BMG.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
When people feel like the 308 just doesn't have enough gas to get the job done, I believe these are supposed to be, at least when they were developed, they're supposed to be able to pierce armor at 1,000 meters.
Yes.
That was kind of that idea.
They had a projectile for that.
Okay.
Yep. And do so in a single-man portable package, whereas a 50, not every time, almost every time, is like a two-person operation.
Right,
because
right.
the guns are just so big,
right.
and the ammunition is just so big. It is a remarkable cartridge.
So in the development, though, somebody made a first attempt at it using the 416 Rigby, and they didn't even actually call it the 338 Lapua, because at that point in time Lapua wasn't making it, right?
Right.
So they called it what, the 338 416 or something like that?
I think that's what we got here, something like that.
Right there.
Yes, the 338 416.
So then they determined, though, that at the pressures they needed to sort of get to in order to achieve these numbers that the Navy wanted, they were getting like the cases were separating or
not
something like that.
Not stellar results.
Yeah, like it just
the cases were not robust enough in certain areas and, I guess, failing.
And so, little company known as, what's their long name again?
Namo Lapua.
Namo Lapua.
Yeah.
And Saco, right? Seiko?
Joint venture.
Joint venture.
Yep. The Finns have a long history of being reputed and exceptional riflemen. They make phenomenal rifles. They make phenomenal ammo. The two go well together. Lapua has been like the mainstay in ultra-lux, super-premium ammunition for pretty much their inception. You know, we obviously know Lapua on the commercial side of things, probably more so because of the 338 Lapua, like it's in the name, so it sticks. But their regular rifle ammunition, like that you could buy in a smattering of calibers, is beyond top tier. Their brass, their component brass, is heralded as the best.
I was going to say, that's the one thing I'm always hearing about, Lapua brass.
Are you using
Lapua
brass?
Yeah.
Their processes are exceptional, and their 22 long rifle ammunition, and there's a huge debate amongst the 22 long rifle shooters, so if you're one of those guys or gals, weigh in. That rimfire stuff they make is just, it's otherworldly in terms of consistency and quality. And that's where they come into the picture. Being the adept ballisticians that they are, they really put the finishing touches on the case and cartridge package and enter, as we know it today, the 338 Lapua.
What in, sorry, timing on this was about, what is this now?
83, so, I think, is when they started.
Initial development in 83. And Jim, you touched on a little bit of, I guess, the parameters that they're looking through. So I'm going to read this verbatim because I don't have the mind of Orion. But it says, in 1983, Research Armament Industries in the United States began development of a new long-range sniper cartridge capable of firing 250 grain, 0.338 diameter bullet at 914 meters per second or 3,000 feet per second that could lethally penetrate five layers of military body armor at 1,000 meters or 1,094 yards. And then, yeah, they kind of start talking about the challenges that they started facing.
That point right there is an important point of distinction and reference in this conversation. The 50 is not an anti-personnel weapon. It's an anti-material weapon.
Right. We're talking like vehicles.
Vehicles, satellite dishes, missile systems, machine guns, buildings, whatever. The 338 Lapua enters to fill the gap of anti-personnel and do so effectively. And
Is it also crossing over into...
It certainly does. It certainly does. The payload that it is carrying is substantial enough that it does do a number on hard targets like vehicles, like satellite dishes, like missile defense systems.
Engine blocks, perhaps.
Yep. And now we're starting to see the integration of cartridges like the Lapua or similar 338 cartridges into medium weight machine guns that are now man portable.
Now, is that the 338 Norma?
Yep. So Norma and the Lapua.
Which was kind of a little bit of a wildcatting adventure based on the 338 Lapua, right?
Similar.
They kind of made it like they sort of almost did they just Creedmoor it?
Same,
so to speak?
Same but different. Yep. Yep.
How'd that go?
Repackaging for size constraints and performance values needed. They're very ballistically similar cartridges. They're not terribly far off each other. You know, and a lot of folks are like, one is better than the other. Same debate rages with 260 and 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yeah.
Sort of.
The 338 Norma Magnum, when you see it, it's a shorter case, but the bullet's seated out further.
Yep.
So you kind of get a lot of that where you probably made it be able to fit into certain magazines or feeding systems a little bit better, and you didn't necessarily eat so much into the powder capacity because the bullet seated out further. I mean, all the same kind of stuff we've seen before in other things.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a very interesting turning point, I think, for like military arms and use. So sniper role is very defined. You know, you've got a sniper rifle, you've got an observer, and now we're potentially getting into a situation in which a medium weight machine gun that's man portable could be used in an interim sniper role with the right optic outfit on it, and also could be used to provide suppressive fire or disable a vehicle or whatever a machine gun would be needed for in that arena.
To do it all.
And it's doing it in a cartridge that has a lot of similarities downrange, I guess, when we're talking about like impacting things, like a 50 would, big heavy payload, more so than the 7.62 that most of those medium machine guns were chambered in, doing it at a much higher velocity than a 7.62, but far more portable, far more controllable than the 50 BMG.
You know what I thought was pretty cool when I was reading about this is that in the development, so in order to get this Lapua, this 338 Lapua, to achieve these sort of, I don't want to say pie in the sky numbers, but I think at that time they were a little bit about, I think maybe when the Navy put out its requirements, they were probably like, let's see if anybody can do this, you know, in our ideal case scenario.
What's our dream list?
Right. So of course, you know, when a company first set out to do it, it didn't work out that great, but when the Finns went after it, I thought it was interesting reading about how their brass, they actually can almost, I'm probably going to use some incorrect terminology here, so bear with me, they've developed it in such a way where there's different hardnesses or different strengths or characteristics of the metal in the single piece of brass at different points. So back by the web and by the rear portion of the case where, you know, the extractor goes on and the primer and all that, but back by the web there, it's a harder, stronger type of, or not type, but just composition of brass. And then out as it gets further into the case and up into the neck, it's a little bit softer and more malleable. Maybe you can explain
exactly the reasons that you're talking about. So when we look at how the case works, like the package itself, at the point of detonation where the pressure is, you know, first hitting and there's all this powder volume here, like this has to be structurally very sound. Mm-hmm. As we move up through the case, obviously we need the shoulder to provide adequate headspace. Certainly it needs to be strong. We don't want the necks brittle or very hard, like back here.
Okay.
They do need to be more malleable to control neck tension, proper neck tension to maintain accuracy. And that kind of thing. And we've talked about annealing before on the podcast. And effectively what you've described is just clever means of managing your brass thickness throughout the case wall all the way down to the head and web, and then proper annealing techniques to maintain the correct hardness or softness, mm-hmm. depending on what point of the case that we're at. And so if you open up a box of brand new Lapua brass, it all looks very neat. The way that their annealing marks are and their annealing lines and then the rest of the brass, everything is just buttoned up. And again, to speak to why they're so popular with sport shooters is they do put such a huge precedence on brass quality and production.
Yeah.
And it's not just the outside. If you cross-section one of these and you look at the internal dimensions of any Lapua case, not necessarily just a 338 Lapua case, but any Lapua case, they are like finer than a lot of other brass on the commercial market. So,
that's cool. So do they all or a lot of them have that distribution, I guess?
Graduation?
Yeah, most cartridges do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to the degree that it's executed, though, I think it depends on the particular cartridge. So if you wanted to achieve a particular thing and you need to do brass heavier and thicker and stronger at the bottom and, you know, softer and more malleable at the top, you would have to draw that out. Like, that would all be in the process portion when you draw that case up. And by draw, I don't mean like color pencil on paper,
but
like the actual manufacturing process of drawing and then how you treat that brass after the fact. And I think a lot of that cartridge success obviously comes from the people at Lapua doing their homework over the better part of a century.
We've talked about this a lot as a sniper cartridge because that's kind of how it was developed. But you start seeing it now, I think, in more of your, you know, your Savage. I can't tell you how many Savage 110 BA 338 Lapuas I've seen in my lifetime with a PST on top.
Yep.
And people take them out hunting.
My hat's off to Savage for, they weren't the first people to, we're going to say, commercialize the cartridge in a hunting scenario. I actually, that nod goes to Sako with an older rifle that they had, the TRGS, which is kind of a unicorn. They had a hunting weight rifle, hunting stocked rifle, like a what you would expect to see on the gun shop rack, chambered in 338 Lapua. And nowadays, they're very hard to come by. So if you own a TRGS, good work, or TRG Sport or whatever you want to call them, fantastic. Savage brought the economy rifle to the scene, chambered in 338 Lapua. I would say that they were probably the front runner there, for the Americans anyway. And it is a fantastic sporting cartridge. I don't know why it actually doesn't get more credit. There's a lot more 340 Weatherbys out there, which are ballistically almost identical to the 338 Lapua, than there are 338 Lapuas. And that is a strange thing to me. Like,
and I mean, you can basically take down anything in North America with a 338 Lapua. And I think I was even reading where some people say, you know, there's certain people who are saying, you know, well, of course, with a well-placed shot on, you know, your African big stuff I've never seen in my life, but game, 338 Lapua is kind of on the edge, and, you know, some people won't allow it, and some people will, but it's for most everything North American, though, it'll...
Yes. Yes. I mean, again, if you're debating a really big 33 and you're on the fence and cusp between 338 Win Mag, 33 Nosler, 340 Weatherby, 338 Lapua should be in that lineup for
certainly.
You. There's, and for a number of good reasons. There's actually a really good ammo selection out there. And as far as hand loading, it's a very straightforward cartridge. It's nothing, there's nothing really magical other than a very large powder capacity that you really need to contend with. No weird shoulders, no belts. Not that those are bad things. I load cartridges with weird shoulders and belts all the time. But it's a really fine round. The factory offerings, as far as rifles are concerned, chambered in this, in a hunting type, are a little scant. In my head, for no good reason. If you wanted a big 33, this is as good as it gets, I think. And it's a fine option. If you're, you know, on the fence on that, consider the Lapua.
I mean, if you're hunting big animals or dangerous game, and for all the reasons Jim mentioned off the go here, you're pushing a big hill, a big pill. You could push it up a big hill.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably on a big hill.
You could be on a big hill firing this cartridge, high BC bullets. They're going fast, good for long range.
Yeah.
Nothing about it
seems like the stuff everybody's looking for.
Nothing about it is wrong in my mind for a sporting cartridge if you're needing that kind of case.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. 338 Lapua. Hopefully that satisfied all the requests out there for this cartridge. If you have any other questions, definitely hit us up. Instagram, YouTube comments, all that stuff. Yeah, get a discussion going down there. Keep throwing out cartridges that you want to hear from us. We try and keep up with as many of those suggestions as we can. Also, go back and see if there's some ones that we've done already on cartridges that you're curious about. We may have already done it. But otherwise, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you.
Thanks.
Bye.